This is Michael Grateful with Nobody Cool Scott here, reading you with and clear. Oh, do my.
Hello and welcome to Sea Views. I'm Julia Gosling, and today I'm delighted that I'm joined by Georgia from iSwan. And also I'm joined by Sophia Grant from Thomas Miller P&I Club. And the reason that we are together is that we're going to be talking about the new allyship campaign that's recently been launched in Maritime. So rather than me try and explain it, I wonder perhaps if I could come to you, Sophia, and just let me know a little bit about what this campaign is.
Hi, yeah, the UK club decided to sort of get on board with the allyship campaign because really, rather than having lots of initiatives to support seafarers, which I'm pleased to say that there are more now, there's lots more developing, we thought it would be really great to have a proactive campaign that we could support that would actually encourage people, not just seafarers themselves who are experiencing difficulties on board, but their colleagues and peers, to be aware and alert about behaviours, mainly sort of seafarer-led, but also for the wider maritime industry. It just really promotes how important it is to be a friend to colleague on board and just to look out for each other. I think really it's quite simple in a nutshell.
That's lovely. And Georgia, this is something that your organisation, iSwan, have been looking at, you know, for quite a long time, psychological safety and so forth. What do you see this allyship campaign representing?
Hello, everyone. Thanks for inviting me to join. The inspiration for this campaign was actually a piece of research, which was all about welfare needs of women seafarers. So that research was looking at the challenges that women seafarers face when they go into port, because a lot of the facilities that are in port are designed for the needs of men seafarers. And so often when women go to port, they find that the kinds of things that they need or they want to help with their well-being and their welfare were missing. And the research also highlighted a lot of other challenges that women seafarers face across the board. So when they're on board their vessels as well. And we were approached by Thomas Miller and by the Seafarers Charity. And they said to us, you know, iSwan, you're in a fantastic position because you are speaking with seafarers every day via your helplines, Seafarer Help and Yacht Crew Help. And you're hearing about them from the challenges that they're facing on board and ashore. And we feel like you're in a really good position to come and talk about not only the challenges that women seafarers are facing, but then, as Sophia said, what can their colleagues around them be doing to help? The concept of allyship is a fantastic one because it's not about putting the onus and the responsibility so much on the person who is experiencing psychological issues, lack of safety at sea, but on those around them to pay better attention, have greater awareness, and to be greater supports to them. Ultimately, that then brings together the crew as a whole and helps to uplift everyone and create an environment that is more psychologically safe for everyone.
Yeah, but it's a very powerful idea. It's a difficult thing to change because it's quite a cultural shift, isn't it? What are some of the solutions then that are being put forward as part of this campaign? Are there some sort of tools that, you know, that you can give people to help them?
For sure. I think it's really important when you're talking to the seafaring community or to maritime as a whole to, as you say, be very aware of the fact that there are a huge cultural, linguistic, generational, regional, whole heap of differences across maritime. And so it's very good to be aware of that when you're developing any kind of campaign around any kind of international campaign. And then to try and come to people and use really tangible, practical, realistic, easy to apply solutions ICEONE, as part of this campaign, have developed two guides, one targeted at seafarers themselves and one targeted at maritime stakeholders, which provide just really simple, practical guidance and advice on how to be better allies at sea. And it gives examples of things that, you know, you can say in certain situations, or how to diffuse tense situations on board, what kind of language to use, how to speak to someone who's experiencing bullying and harassment, how to ask them if they would like your help or not.
The word that comes up quite a bit, just for, you know, just in this little chat as well, is the word simple. And I think that, you know, often things are overcomplicated or made very complicated, whereas it can just come down to something quite basic. And the guides that have been produced are very helpful in that respect, because they give a different perspective from perhaps the chief officer, the captain's role, to other people on board, different ranks. But ultimately, we're all human beings. So actually, there's lots of tips there that we can use, you know, in everyday life, in any interaction, basically to be, you know, aware and alert as to what's going on around you. And if you see an example of where you feel, oh, I think that made that person feel a little bit uncomfortable there, you know, just to be alert to that as to what's happening. And maybe if it was an interaction with two people where you can take one aside and say to them, are you feeling okay? You looked a bit uncomfortable, you know, show a little bit of kindness and care to that person. And in the same vein, if you feel brave enough, go and approach the person who made that comment and say, you know, I don't think the other person liked that, or I don't think they felt comfortable about that. Maybe you want to rephrase that in the future. You know, I really appreciate it's something difficult to start perhaps, but I think once you do start doing it, it actually becomes easier. It's like a ball, like a snowball, you know, you get momentum.
Yeah, that's interesting. And there's these, you know, guides that have just got some of this that you're saying. I'll put links to that as well in the show notes,
okay,
if anyone wants them. Yes. And these are practical things that you can start doing step by step. Anyone could on board. It's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, the industry seems to be much more open about talking and dealing with psychological safety and recognising how important it is. Sophia, I think you've probably seen some real changes in that in your time working in maritime insurance and so on.
Yes, definitely, because this is my 33rd year in maritime in P&I this year, but definitely I don't even think the subject would have come up 15 years ago. And it's a bit like mental health. I draw a lot of parallels to that, because when that first came up, people were sort of almost a little bit like, there was a feeling like mental health, oh, what's that got to do with anybody else? That's to the person, isn't it? You know? And this is very similar, where it's not all about the person being in control of it. It's sometimes things are said or done that you don't ask for, you know, you're not prepared for. So there is an opportunity for other people to influence the mental health as well as the safety on board. Definitely in the industry, some of the initiatives that we've seen pop up have been great. You know, I've become really involved in mental wellbeing initiatives with the Sailors Society and with Mission to Seafarers, who do a safe talk suicide prevention training, and also with Stella Maris for supporting the crews directly through chaplain visits, etc. But I think all of these things are wonderful that they're being looked at. And even just the fact that we are here having a podcast, you know, talking about this subject, it's a breakthrough.
We know from the research, and if you know anyone who works on board, you just know that it is damaging people who are suffering. It's not just, this is not woke culture, if anybody wants to throw that out at this kind of initiative. This is actually damaging to people's work, careers, mental health.
We need to reclaim the word woke anyway.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with being awake to the realities and problems in the world. It's the meaning has been muddied as though it were a negative term.
I never really understand that. And I mean, and certainly from the physical side, because I deal with both the physical and mental health aspects of well-being in my role. And definitely we can see that, you know, physical health is often impacted by mental health and mental well-being. You know, if you're not happy emotionally, you're very likely to get some physical symptoms arising, if it's particularly if you're prolonged, you know, exposed to prolonged stress and you become chronic stress. You know, a little simple, for anybody who doesn't believe that, a little simple example is if you're happy and you see somebody that you like who makes you happy, your face glows. Now, there's a physiological response, if you like, a physical response to an emotional feeling. You know, you blush or your face glows, you feel happy, you feel maybe warm inside. That just shows you the power of emotions that they have over our body as well. So, you know, it's very important to deal with these aspects, no matter how simple they may feel. And actually, thinking about simple again, some people might brush them off because they're simple. They might just say, oh, come on, everybody does this or whatever. But no, sadly, I see that it's not commonplace everywhere to be a good ally. So we need to encourage it.
Yeah. And it's really good that you've got that perspective that it is just part of health. It's physical and mental together is needed. I know this is probably just the start of turning the tide, as it were. What's the future? What more needs to be done, do you think? Could I ask you first, Georgia?
I think there needs to be a buy-in at a different level. So this can not only be something that seafarers are responsible for, it can not only be something that leadership is responsible for, or shipping companies or management companies. There needs to be a buy-in across the board that this is a widespread cultural and behavioural change that all will come together to promote. We need to stop seeing things as being completely separate topics: mental health, physical health, psychological well-being, personal safety, physical safety, allyship. They're all the environment, sustainability, all those things are actually all one and the same thing. If you have happy and healthy crew on board, then it all will come together. And so I think moving into that mindset, the allyship is just another aspect of running a safe ship, then it becomes easier to implement it as a behavior and a culture because you stop treating it as something completely separate. And actually, it's just part of an overall healthy culture on board. Certainly from Iceland's point of view, we're only at the very beginning of the campaign to date. It's very much been a social media and awareness story sharing campaign, but we have plans moving forwards. And it was focused on allyship towards women seafarers. But moving forward, you know, we want this to be allyship towards any seafarer who is feeling marginalized or who's experiencing personal safety issues whilst on board. And it really doesn't matter what demographic that seafarer is, what they look like, or how they identify.
Yeah. And Sophia, what are your thoughts?
I've got quite a few. I'll try to be succinct. I think actually that it's great that we're doing these projects, and definitely the momentum has to continue. I feel that we have to also pare it back and take it right back to learning so that we're educating the future generations. So there's lots of reasons why we need to do that. And that is that we need to make this industry that we work in future-proof. So we need to have it that people want to work in this industry. We don't want to make it that it's exclusive only for men or only for certain nationalities or locations or anything. You know, we want to make it so anybody in the world in any situation thinks, well, actually, I wouldn't mind going to work on a ship, wouldn't mind, you know, going into maritime, that yes, it appeals. We don't want to have all of the negatives, because quite often, like any industry, I guess, all you see on the news is the negatives about maritime. Instead of the good things, there's so many good things about working in maritime. You know, why would I choose to be in an industry for 33 years if I didn't love it? And, you know, and I'm not a seafarer. So there's so much of maritime that we need to promote. So I think that's why we have to invest in these types of projects. Because if we don't, what's going to happen to it? You know, we can't have the old entrenched attitudes continuing for the future, because Generation Z and millennials and the younger people in, just they want more, they expect more, and quite right, you know. So yes. Let's give them more. Like Georgia says, you have to make, you know, working on board an attractive proposition. You have to make it safe for everybody. you wouldn't want to send a child of yours or a relative, a loved one, into an environment that you know is going to be unsafe for them. So it's in everybody's interests, that's all.
It is about the future, isn't it? I really hear that. I know that we talked about some of the tools and I definitely signpost those guidelines. And obviously we'll look out for, you know, more communications from this campaign as well as we go along. And there's lots to do. Touching on what you just said, Sophia, about you've worked in the industry for 33 years. I've worked in maritime for 20 years or so. I've never served on board a ship, but I've worked in maritime with, which is a very male industry. I wanted to just also highlight that I've got some amazing male allies in maritime who've always held me up, treated me exactly the same, you know, respected me for my professional skills. And I think that's important to also kind of look at the positives, that there are great allies out there and yeah, they should be the role models.
Yes, totally. I think I've got quite a lot, like you say, working in a male-dominated industry. It, you know, there are a lot. I think back, there was one many years ago. If they listen to this, they'll know who they are. I'm not going to name names, but who identified me for the role that I'm doing now, which I've been doing for 20 years. And at the time, I said to them, I don't know anything about that. Why am I, you know, why would I be good for that? And they said to me, when you believe in something, you don't need to sell it. You just really tell it from the heart. When you believe in it, you just run with it and it shows. Mm-hmm. And they had the faith in me to push me forward to do something. So they saw something in me that I didn't see in myself at the time.
They chose well.
Yeah, it's done me okay. And there's been moments where I thought, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, at the beginning, there's always those times. But again, allies, people that I went to for advice. And that's it. And I have to say, big up to, you know, UK Club for that, because it's always been a very open environment to go and ask colleagues. There's no silly questions. You can always just go up to someone and say, hey, I've never heard of this word. What is it? You know, I've never felt a stigma at all about being myself and asking when I felt like I didn't know something. So, yeah, so that person was huge for me at the beginning, really encouraging me on. And I'm lucky that I've had quite a few managers and leaders who have been real leaders, not just managers, who have been real people and not just task, you know, because that's something that is often overlooked, that people get promoted because they're good at task and yes, not necessarily about leading people. And, you know, if you get someone who's good at leading people, then they can learn the task, you know?
Yes, exactly. No, it is good to have some positive role models that we can, you know, say, mm-hmm, look, we can hold them up.
Just that you're touching on an important point here in general about the campaign is that I think something that was very important, not only to ICEONE and to the funders, but also to the seafarers themselves that we met with, because we held multiple focus groups with seafarers and with, you know, industry stakeholders as well for the development of this campaign, because we wanted to make sure, you know, we weren't developing it in isolation, that we were actually talking to those people who are affected by these issues and who would be responsible for trying to affect change. And it was really coming through very strongly how important it was that this be a positive campaign, that women seafarers don't constantly want to be talking about the challenges that they face and to be singled out as other. And nor do they want to feel that they are bashing their male colleagues or pointing fingers of blame, that actually this is about a bringing together of different gender identities, different roles, different ranks, different industries, even coming all together. That's what allyship is in essence. It's uplifting one another. And so, yes, the sharing of positive examples of allyship, the sharing of positive stories, positive behaviours, best practice, all those things are very much the future of this campaign moving forward.
Excellent. Well, I think on that positive note, on a challenging subject, I think that's a good time to look forward to the rest of 2025, and we'll look out for more from this allyship campaign as it moves on. And I'm really thankful that both of you, with your perspectives, Georgia and Sophia, that you both joined me today. We have to leave the bridge now. So I'll ring the bell and we will head off to our respective day jobs for the rest of the shift. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you very much.
I've been very grateful. It's not really cool. God, here, really worked out for you.
And the volunteers.